Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I hope you as a listener are just as interested in what's about to come out of Max Starks' mouth that he doesn't even know what's about to come out of his mouth. It's the highlight of your Football Fix, in which Max Starks is filling in for Wolf today. The subject matter for the Football Fix is the backlash that has started from Hall of Famers about T.O. If you don't know the situation with Owens was elected into the Hall of Fame. They do it at the Super Bowl. So last year's Super Bowl, he gets elected into the Hall of Fame, and then 7 months later or so is the actual Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. He is one of the reasons he's now saying he's sticking up for all players that get that don't make it in enough time, in his opinion. He's sticking up for everybody. But he's so upset that it took him a long time to get into the Hall of Fame that he now is not going to the ceremony at all. He's going to UT Chattanooga, his alma mater, to deliver a speech. The Hall of Fame then made the decision that they will include T.O. in every pamphlet they hand out, just like he's there. They will include T.O. in the kind of like the fake group shot, meaning when they put images up of the Hall of Fame class, a picture of T.O. as a player will be in it with the other players, things like that. But he will not be mentioned during the ceremony. There'll be nobody making a speech for him. They won't even say, and T.O. is in. They're going to act like he doesn't exist while the ceremony is going on. And a lot of players have come out now really upset at T.O. for not being there. Hall of Famers. I don't know what you think on this, because this was not much of a topic because it was like T.O. just gets dismissed. Yeah. But now that a lot of other Hall of Famers have come out and said something, I don't know what you think.
I'm right along the same lines. I don't think he deserves that kind of pity party pouting that you have associated with T.O. outside of the football field. And let me tell you why I feel this way. Okay, number one, yes, his numbers stack up. He amassed a lot of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of the character of Hall of Famers, the position that they have, you expect them to be elevated or elevate themselves for this moment because you're going to be immortalized forever in Canton as a Hall of Famer. Like, to wear the gold jacket is a privilege. You shouldn't expect it. And I think he's expecting it because his numbers stack up. Your personality doesn't stack up to it. Now, granted, you opened yourself up for this opportunity once you allow a Lawrence Taylor in, a Michael Irvin, and the past transgressions they've had mm-hmm. off the field. But they rose to the occasion when it counted.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that your T.O., you know, your insecurity level is that high that you feel you're better than this because you didn't get in 2 years. I think he feels he should have been in the first ballot.
Right.
I don't see that. I'm like, no, there was a lot of better players that deserving in the line because mm-hmm. you only get so many players you can pick a year.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm
the
going
active
in,
committee, not the veterans, but the active committee can only select four.
Yeah.
To come in that now you get into, okay, this guy comes in as a contributor, this guy, blah, blah, blah. There's other categories.
Yeah.
But the main group is those four.
Yeah. And the fact that you got in with the four that you got in with, you should be thanking your lucky stars. Cause I feel like Alan Faneca deserves to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Dermoni Dawson too long. Mm-hmm. And that's just from my Steelers side. So who are you? And especially when it's already wide receiver heavy, you have statistics to back it up. But there's a lot of guys who are deserving that don't have those stats that I feel should be in the Hall of Fame and immortalized because of their contribution to changing the game of football. I get it. You changed it with the glamour at the position, you know, with all the exotic touchdown celebrations. Your numbers look good. You played on good teams, so your numbers should look good.
Right.
And you had good quarterbacks the entire way. But at the same time, you need to be gracious enough to sit down and accept this honor. Go there, give the speech, because it's now it's selfish. Because when you do this speech at the Hall of Fame, you're thanking the people that got you there as well.
Yeah.
So it's an honor to them as well.
Interesting that you use the word selfish, because you know who else used it? Charles Barkley.
In the Hall of Fame speech, it ain't about you. It's about thanking all the people who helped you get to the Hall of Fame. All the coaches, you know, your parents, your grandparents. I know he was close to his grandmother. I was very close to my grandmother. I wanted the world to know what she meant to me. There's so many coaches I played for, so many teammates I played for. I wanted to acknowledge those guys. So I think T.O. was being selfish and short-sighted, and he should have went to the Hall of Fame induction.
I love that phrase. If you didn't get the chance to see it, Google LaDainian Tomlinson's speech.
Yeah.
From last year.
Yeah.
That was one of those speeches where it doesn't matter that it's a Football Hall of Fame speech. It's a speech that makes you say, I'm glad I live in this country. I mean, it was just one of those moments where you say, that man gets it, and I'm glad I'm here. You know, it was so awe-inspiring. And the platform that you have, the opportunity that you have, and it was wasted. I like what you mentioned Michael Irvin. I like what he said.
We can't spend this moment for all these other guys talking about the guy that is not here. You cannot do that and take that away. And, you know, T.O.'s doing his own thing, wherever he's doing his own thing, and God bless him. But they're going to, when they mention it as a class, they'll mention him. But why should you steal those other guys' moment because of the decision of this one? You know, I think it's the right move. They're not saying he's not going to have a bus in the room. They're not saying he's not getting his jacket. They're saying that we're honoring his wish. He doesn't want to be here with us. We're going to mention him as little as possible.
For me, and I know I'm going to get ripped for this, I'm not saying this for anybody to rip me, but this is how I feel. This isn't a statement. I hope you know this show well enough to know we don't say anything to get your attention to be cool or different, but we just give our opinion, and sometimes that grabs your attention. I don't think T.O. is a Hall of Famer. And this is partially my reasoning. I'm not saying you have to go to the Hall of Fame to be a Hall of Famer. But I think this is a Hall of Fame based on what do you do to contribute to winning. And I look at T.O., we know for a fact he was unbelievable in that Super Bowl when the Philadelphia Eagles lost with allegedly Donovan McNabb throwing up in the huddle. You know, stuff like that. T.O. Yeah. was fantastic. But so often in his career, I think he became more of a detriment to the team than necessarily was a positive. And this is kind of one of those things. This is the type of selfish acts that he did. And I have no problem with people that lack character being in the hall. It's not a hall of character to me.
Yeah.
It's your job to raise your children to be able to go up to the Hall of Fame and look at Ty Cobb and say, this was one of the biggest jerks and most racist people that's ever walked the face of the earth. But man, he could play baseball. You know, that's your job as a parent to say that. To you, for you to walk in there and say, I think O.J. Simpson did X, Y, Z. But man, he could run the football. You know,
yeah.
I believe that that's what the hall is there for. It's not to raise our children. It's to honor the game and what these players did. But I look at T.O. and say, did T.O. contribute more strongly to winning championships or kind of destroying teams?
Well, and I look at it more so.
And I know I'm in the minority.
I know. And my thing is, how do you transform the game? How did you transcend or transform the game of football? Well, he was the predecessor for all the exotic celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it out there. And our game now is, we have that. After the whole no fun league and, you know, getting penalties for it, we're now back to where you can do whatever you want in celebrations. T.O. started that. So, and that's something that's a part of our game. It's not going away anytime soon. It's the excitement part of it. So he contributed to that. Plus his numbers stack up.
His numbers totally do.
Should
My
be
argument
in the Hall
has
of Fame.
No water. Yeah. Doesn't stand up
so,
at all.
So, I mean, I get why it is, but also you have to remember, you get what you receive. I mean, this is, were you expecting anything different from him? And that's what bothers me about it. It's such an honor that you think you can put your feelings aside and be greater than them. Like, I love what Charles said. I didn't even hear that quote before. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Chuck and I were on the same page, kudos. But at the same time, I'm like, I can't see why you wouldn't. And I've been there when my teammate Jerome Bettis went to the Hall of Fame. I was lucky enough to be invited to be a part of the festivities of that weekend. And it was tremendous. And as a player, you know, you look for that quote-unquote validation. If you get in the hall, You want everything that comes along with it. Why would you short yourself and short the people that you love and care about that helped you stay, maintain the league, get to the league, and support you afterwards? Why would you not give them that moment? Because really, that's their moment as well. Mm. And you're selfish enough, you know, go back to your own school, whatever. I get that's a cool thing. But unveiling that bust in person and seeing your face, you know, emblazoned in bronze forever to go into the hall is a special moment. To be up there with the other guys in your class, your peers, is a special moment. To talk and realize I get to get my message out to the world about my thoughts, my feelings about the NFL and about my career and about all the things that have been nice that have been said about me. He gave all of that up. He surrendered that right. So I'm like, yeah, don't mention him. I don't want you to ruin it, because Ray Lewis is going to take up your time anyways. Let's just face it. He's going to preach the best sermon he's ever preached in his life.
That's, you know, I didn't even think about how long that speech is going to be. Coming up next, talks are heating up. Did you realize the trade deadline is just 2 weeks away? Where's Manny Machado going? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Super Bowl champion Max Starks filling in for Wolf today. Wolf is coming back on Wednesday. And I'll be here Wednesday. I admit openly I'm taking off tomorrow because I wasn't sure how well I'd do today. I just came off of bone spur surgery. Today is my first day back at work. If you want my opinion on how I'm doing, physically I'm actually okay. My foot's swelling and it hurts, but I'm all right. Talk show-wise, I'm doing pretty terrible, I'll admit it. But it is not like riding a bike. You don't just jump right back in and figure everything out. The Manny Machado news, very strange yesterday if you didn't hear what happened. As the Orioles were home against the Rangers, Manny Machado already hit a home run in the game, and then there's a rain delay. And after the rain delay, he doesn't come back into the lineup, and he gets pulled. So Buck Showalter, the manager, was asked, what's up with Manny? Why didn't he come back into the game?
Oh, that's part of it. Yeah, I'm not going to, you know. I think we're all adults here, and some more than others, right? But we know what's going on, the potential, okay? So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that was all it. You know, first, my thought on that is, what are you telling the other eight people, you know? But obviously there's a different situation going on with Manny. I'm not going to, you know, it's just frankly, y'all know that. So they had a lot to do with it.
And basically was challenged, did you pull him to keep him healthy, to make sure he didn't get hurt in bad conditions to protect your asset? Yeah, pretty much that's exactly what happened on that. And he hit a home run, and some people think he might even be gone by the time the All-Star break is over.
Just looking back at everything that's happened this year and, you know, trade rumors, everything. You know, just overall playing with this team has always been, you know, incredible. You know, whether we had our ups and downs this year, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, me putting up the number that I did at shortstop, where people didn't think I should have made the move on my walk here, but I did. And, you know, now I'm going to the All-Star game as an Oriole and as a shortstop. So, you know, I mean, it's just always a blessing. You know, I thank God, thank my family for always supporting me, my teammates, the fans, the organization. I mean, it's just been very incredible.
So I don't know if he's going to be done. That's the thing. It's interesting to look at. Today is July 16th. Yesterday, if you didn't know, marked the one-year anniversary of the J.D. Martinez trade. J.D. Martinez became a Diamondback last year on July 15th. That's when the trade went down. And you're looking at that, and I'm saying, okay, we all know what that did for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I don't think anybody is sitting around now feeling terrible about, oh, no, what about those prospects the Diamondbacks gave up? Where are those guys? When you look at what J.D. Martinez brought to the table last year, and if it wasn't for a poor pitching performance from Zach Greinke at the beginning of the wild card game that then eliminated Robbie Ray from pitching against the Dodgers in game one, it eliminated, and then, of course, Tywin Walker getting blown up in game one, the Diamondbacks wouldn't have been in that situation without J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
That's exactly where this team is right now. It's the exact same thing. This team is not going to the playoffs unless they have a jolt that comes their way. And what's different is give Mike Hazen all the credit in the world for the JD Martinez trade, not only because of how well JD Martinez performed, but nobody looked at JD Martinez before that trade and said he's going to even remotely do this. Manny Machado will come to a National League team and change the entire face of the playoff race. You know that going in. He's going to be a Philly. He's going to be a Brewer. He's going to be a Dodger. He's going to one of those three teams as the rumor mill is heating up now. Why not the Diamondbacks? You got to get this done because by not getting it done, you're not going to the playoffs this year, and your farm system is so bad, I don't see how you're going in 2020, 2021, 2022. So therefore, if you're going to make it, you've got this year and next year. So why would you put that off? I realize you have zero. Machado will not be a 2019 Diamondback. I know that this is a rental. But aren't you close enough to going to the playoffs? And can't you see from this offense you need to give them a jolt?
No, I totally agree with you. I think it's something that the Diamondbacks really need to look at hard during this break and figure out what can we do to get back in this sweepstakes, because we need offense and we need pitching. Those are two things that have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to improve if they want to compete, because the Dodgers are going to heat up. Mm-hmm. They're going to heat up in the second half. They always heat up in the second half. And the Giants and the Rockies are breathing down your neck. And especially the Rockies now have confidence after snapping that 9-game win streak on their field, and you still have to see them 10 more times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they now have confidence, and you're going to see them right after the break. So you don't think that they're not carrying a little bit of bravado on their shoulder when they step into Chase Field?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come in and they're going to think they can win this series. And if they win this series, we're back in the hunt. And we've now knocked the Diamondbacks even further down. Because, look, they couldn't hit home runs against us in Coors Field. How are they going to hit those against us in their own house? So you need that jolt. And I think only Manny Machado can provide the jolt necessary to get this team back on track and to get them excitable again.
And I know what some people are saying. I know those of you that are listening, or you're driving into work, or you're doing your rounds right now, and the first thing you're saying is, well, wait, if the farm system is so bad, why do you think the Orioles will make a deal? Because I'm willing to give up enough to go get him, because I think there's a line of demarcation to where your farm system is. If your farm system is average to below average, then that at least means you've got enough pieces not to go after Machado. That then you're going to be okay eventually. You try to build. This farm system is so bad that I don't think there's any way you can get it rebuilt unless you're willing to give up. Unless the Diamondbacks are willing to do a white flag trade and you trade Goldie, you trade Greinke, you trade Corbin, you trade Pollock, and you just say, we stink, we're giving up. I don't think that's the way to go, because I think you're close enough to the playoffs and you have enough talent to try to do something in these next 2 years. So therefore, it's kind of the reverse situation. It's so bad in that farm system, you can't help it without a fire sale. Can't. So yeah. Then get rid of it. Just accept that 2020 is not going to be very good. Accept it now. You didn't even sign your first-round pick this year. You don't have a first-round pick. You didn't get him signed. That's how bad it's going to be in the future. So just accept it now with the chance of doing something in 2018. And now your chance. This is something Derek Hall said last week, and I admit I terribly disagree with this.
I mean, these guys, it's nice to have them all back. They all kind of came back at the same time. Now we just have to get them back in a groove. It's certainly nice to have the options of Souza. You know, we'll get Dyson back here soon. We got AJ back. It completely changed our outfield.
I know what he's saying. He's saying, hey, since everybody's coming back, it's like making a midseason trade. But look at the names that are coming back. Robbie Ray didn't do that well this year. I hope he does better. I believe he's going to be an excellent pitcher. But he didn't do that well before he got hurt. Steven Souza Jr. has done very, very little all year. To act like suddenly everything's going to be fine when he gets back and stays in the lineup. I should say when he gets back because he's back. But stays in the lineup consistently, I think is wrong, because he's never been a great baseball player. He's been a good baseball player. You have a chance with Machado. And just look around at the other guys that are coming back. Are you really thrilled that Avila's back? Has he made a huge difference since coming back?
Pitching.
I mean, come on. and then pitching-wise, I think when Buchholz gets back, I like Clay Buchholz, but Shelby Miller, everyone say, hey, when we get Shelby Miller back, well, what did that do for you? It's not enough. Coming up next, what happened to DeAndre Ayton in the summer league? Should anybody be worried? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. for some reason, we live in a society that if you say something positive, it means everything's great. And if you say something negative, it means the whole world's going to end. And there's not a middle ground. Is it hard for anyone who watched NBA Summer League action to say DeAndre Ayton didn't do enough, and it doesn't mean DeAndre Ayton is not going to be an excellent and, in my opinion, great NBA basketball player? It seems like everyone is either in the category, and this is just a guy that read a lot of stuff, okay? I was gone for 2 weeks after having surgery on my foot, so everything I'm saying is based on me watching and me doing a lot of reading, but not, I'm not trying to say this to sound important, but I haven't called and talked to a lot of people. I usually will call, talk to NBA scouts, talk to people that are, or text people that are nice enough to return texts, and just kind of get the feel for what they're thinking. So I have a little bit more of an educated opinion. This is just a guy that watched games and telling you something, but I watched DeAndre Ayton, and then I'm reading all the reports. And everybody wanted to say either give him a break, he didn't have guards, or they wanted to rip it. And I kind of feel like, why can't it be in the middle? Why can't you just state he did not dominate the way he could have, and he didn't have a lot of good guard play? What did you see? As the former Orlando Magic ball boy, floor cleaner, in which Max Starks, filling in for Ron Wolfley today, knows his basketball very well.
And also post-up guy. Post-up guy for the competition warming up.
I see. That's important.
That is important. You take a Larry Johnson.
You spent more time on an NBA court than any of us have.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There you go.
You take an elbow from Larry Johnson in the post. Yeah, you've earned your stripes. I think I'm also in that group of middling, because I'm like, he dominated at points. I think he dominated the prospects. And he was a clear cut why he was a number one overall pick, mm-hmm. especially for a big heavy draft this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't dominate like he should have in the moments where he could have.
Right.
If that
right.
makes sense.
Yeah. Because what I want to see is, in this situation, it's absolutely right to look at the guards and say you didn't do a very good job setting him up. However, DeAndre Ayton did a terrible job of posting up. And I would have liked to have seen DeAndre Ayton demand the basketball. There's nothing wrong with an offensive force saying, I'm here, I'm open, give me the ball. And making those demands, you can do it without being a jerk. You can do it within the team concept. And you should be one of the best players on the team in an NBA summer league. Igor Kokoschkov, the new head coach, disagrees. He doesn't think Ayton struggled at all.
I don't think he struggled. He was engaged. He was competing. And that's why we're here. So no complaints. Obviously, he's physical, got a size, he's got a rebound with two hands and finish around the basket with authority. And that's something that's going to be adjustment for him.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see why Igor would say that, because this is his first chance coaching with his new team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still trying to feel out individual players. You know, do you know what you have in Dragan Bender? You know, all last week I spent the whole week calling him Dragan Dender. I was like, until he shows me differently, he did not earn his name. What do you have with Mikal Bridges? Mikal Bridges didn't absolutely shoot well, and he didn't take advantage of opportunities where he could have scored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Shaq Harrison and Donovan Reed dominated in their great performances. So, and then you have DeAndre Ayton. So you couldn't get the ball into him in the inbounds. I was like, he just got frustrated. In my mind, it looked like he got frustrated. But he did enough things off the ball without the ball in his hands that I was like, you know what? It was still a solid outing for DeAndre Ayton. And when pressed with the opportunity to go up against two of his equal peers, because obviously Summer League is full of guys you'll never see in the NBA,
yeah.
and only a handful of guys that will play meaningful time on a team versus the Suns, who had a lot of contributors playing mm-hmm. for them, he dominated against Marvin Bagley.
You thought so?
I thought he had a very good performance. Okay. He had a better performance than Bagley had against him.
Okay.
And I thought he did a great job against Mo Bamba as well.
I really expected it against Bamba, because Bamba's not there yet. Bamba's got a long way to go offensively. I just love his work ethic, his defensive game, and his intelligence. I think Bamba's going to be great.
And Bamba has beaten him at every other stage. So
yep, yep,
that
yep.
was his first victory against him.
This
and
is,
he also had double-doubles.
This is guys. That's the one thing I do want to say. Even though I was not thrilled with his lack of domination, I more mean that attitude wise. Not that he's a bad attitude, but it just there wasn't enough urgency. And you can say, Doug, it's summer league. Who cares? No, you're there for a reason. I want that to be your attitude all the time. Competitive people do not care whether it's summer league or the NBA finals. Okay, the competitive person says, I must break you. Ha, I would Drago on you. Yeah, you need to bring it right there. And he didn't at times. But this was interesting from Amin El Hassan, NBA insider from ESPN. He was on the Doug and Wolf show Friday. And this was a little bit of a tidbit that if you want to make this comparison, it will make you feel good.
I told this story on our podcast at the Hoop Collective on ESPN about watching Chris Haus Porzingis at his first summer league, and his numbers didn't pop out, but watching him play, one of the hardest things is for bigs to play at summer league because it's a very guard-driven environment, meaning the ball's in the guard's hands. Often these guards either A, aren't very good, or B, aren't very experienced. Either way, for them, that means ignoring the bigs a lot. So for big guys at summer league, a lot of times they get frustrated and then kind of just get lost in the sauce because why should I set screens hard? Why should I do all the right things if I'm never rewarded for it, if my teammates never look at me?
That's a soft opinion for me. And the reason why I say soft, not from Amin El Hassan's standpoint of like he's being soft. I mean, I don't like anybody that says, why should I do my job because somebody else isn't doing theirs? I don't care what walk of life we're talking about. Your job is your job. And if somebody isn't doing their job, why does that matter how hard you're supposed to do your job? I admit there are going to be times in everybody's life where you're working as hard as you can, and due to other people around you, it's going to be unproductive. You're not going to succeed in the business form or whatever you're involved in because other people are bringing the business down, and that's not your fault. But if your effort is determined by the effort of the people around you, you're just as much at fault as they are. I don't want to hear that, well, you know, why should I work so hard posting them up if the guards aren't giving me the ball? Because you're a post-up player. That's why you should do it.
Well, and at the same time, still human nature. And he's also, 19 years old?
Yeah,
so he's a young guy. So naturally, he's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to get the ball in the post. I'm going to work on other things. And he did. And rebounding, going up, second chance, put back buckets. He made some spectacular plays when he was off the shoulder of the elbow, making some shots. So he did other creative things that I feel are going to need to be in the well-rounded, you know, multifaceted big man position in today's NBA. I think he did all of those other things, and he worked those other things without having the traditional, I post up, the guard gets me the ball when my hand goes up in the air.
I just want to see people be hard on rookies. I don't want to hear all the reasons why Ayton didn't dominate. I want you, and hopefully the coaching staff does this, you know, privately to him. Watch the video and says, why didn't you drive this guy off the block?
Well, if I'm going to be hard on something, I want to, Mikal Bridges, listen, we went up and got you in the top 10. I need you to shoot better. I need you to be a consistent threat. Because right now, when you look at the Suns team and how they're built, where is your scoring coming from? Devin Booker, who's going to be playing off the ball. He's not going to be dribbling the ball down court. You're hoping Trevor Ariza is going to be somewhere in that top four of the scores. And then you're going to be expecting DeAndre Ayton to score. Who else? I need a Mikal Bridges. I need a Josh Jackson. I need Dragan. But somebody needs to be up there in that top four versus our one-year rental and Trevor Ariza. I need to see the core of this team. My top three scorers should be my three young guys that I have. Three out of those five should be scoring and making points for me, because that's what the difference is going to make for us to jump from a 21 to 25 win team into the 30s. Somebody's going to have a big moment, and I know DeAndre Ayton's going to give me a double-double. I can expect that from him because he's number one overall pick, at least. And now who's my third guy? Josh Jackson, Mikal Bridges, Dragan Bender. One of you three have to fill that third spot because Devin's number one.
It's a good point about Josh Jackson because he was kind of a letdown too.
Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The hardworking player of the series is brought to you by Copper Point Insurance. Get to the point.
Whenever a Diamondback series ends, look at all of a sudden there's a jam going on.
It's cool, Mo D.
That's impressive.
Gets it out of me every time.
The hardest working player of the series, where we look back at the Diamondbacks' most recent series, they won the series against the Braves, lost 5-1. Obviously, it says series, so it kind of means you're supposed to say games 1, 2, or 3, or 4 of a series. But it doesn't change the fact that, for me, it was a guy that only played one game of the series. Mm-hmm. Zach Greinke was the hardest working man of the series for me.
Yeah, it's Greinke or Godley for me. Them actually going 6-7 innings when you haven't seen that from the last couple of outings from starting pitchers. I was happy to see both of them, and in both of their games, they won.
And the 6 runs against the 3 pitchers, if I told you their pitchers' names and you only able to get 6 runs against these guys, D-backs offense, let's go. There's still no close. How do we still not have a close yet?
Really long open, though.
Guess what we're going to do? We're making a close for that before the week's out. Coming up next, top 5 storylines for the Diamondbacks for the first half of the season and how many of them need to change if they're going to do anything in the second half. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'm enjoying the Max Starks jam that's happening. Wolf doesn't actually chair dance, but he just kind of, it's hard to describe what he does.
Spasms?
Yeah.
Spasms in his
chair. That's a good way to put it. It's Doug and Wolf here with Max Starks, Super Bowl champion, filling in for Wolf today. Going to talk D-backs in a second, but I just saw an amazing tweet, and I want to give the kid credit. This is from Darren Revell, who's the ESPN Business Insider, and he said, Mbappe intends to donate his World Cup winnings, which is $500,000, to a charity that builds sports programs for disabled children in France.
Salt of the earth.
How could you? I mean, he's 19, and he's already got that ability. You know what? Here, all this work I just did for the last month and a half, here, boom. I don't need any of it. Here you go. At 19 years old.
That's right, because whoever I'm playing for is going to pay me that much
more. I'm not denying that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's awesome. And these feel-good – we don't talk about enough of those type of feel-good stories sports.
Yes,
because at the height of his success, it could have been anything else. Granted, he's 19. But the fact that he gets it and he's already looking to make a difference – and use his celebrity and success for something positive for others is just tremendous and can't be overstated enough how great this kid is. First of all, you're mentioned with Pele, you know, as far as being one of the youngest people
to
score.
He's now the second youngest player and only teenager in the history of a World Cup final to score a goal.
Yeah.
Pele is the other one.
And Mbappe, and that goal was an amazing goal, by the way.
Yeah.
And yes, it's awesome. It makes me feel good. I'm excited about that and this kid, and now I want to watch him even more.
I do, too. And who knows how many more World Cups he's going to be able to play since he's in one at 19. Diamondbacks a loser yesterday, 5-1. And that game yesterday, it really bothered me because I want to be fair. Anybody who plays or anybody who does anything for a living, any job you have, all of us are bad at the day before you go on vacation. All of us are. The worst ever, Wolf. Oh, my gosh. The day before his vacation was, you thought today's show was bad with how bad of a job I'm driving. Man alive, was he awful that day. But having said that, it is typical of all of us. We're all thinking about it. Last night, the Diamondbacks were just crazy. And one of the issues yesterday afternoon, and one of the issues I have with the Diamondbacks team this year is I do feel like I'm hearing way too many excuses. And hopefully it's just stuff that they're saying to us as fans. And they're not saying the same things in-house. And that's what matters. What matters is what's being said in-house. But here's Torrey Lovello to Fox Sports Arizona about the first half of the season.
Yeah, I think overall, if I have to summarize the first half is I'm very proud of these guys. We had some tough circumstances with a lot of injuries. We're recently getting our predicted lineup out on the field fairly consistently. So I know it's going to take a little time for things to gel, and we were starting to swing the bat pretty good. But overall, you know, we're right where we want to be. Obviously, May was a tough month, but we put that behind us. I think we became stronger for it, and they learned to rely on one another through those difficult circumstances. So extremely pleased with where we're at. And like I said earlier, I'm very proud of what they've accomplished.
That to me is too flowery, because if you, and I understand here, it depends on what you thought of the team to begin with. If you thought this team was an average team, then I can understand why you'd say something like that. And I'm not talking about Torrey Lovello. I'm talking about anybody in general. It's you should be proud of them. Hey, look at our boys. Look how, hey, they're right in this thing. Okay, this is good.
Above 500.
You're above 500. You were in first place for a long time. If you thought the team was average, you should feel good about this. This was last year, going into the playoffs, the second best team in the National League. That's who they were last year. And I realize they don't have J.D. Martinez. I totally understand that.
But to get to the halfway point that they were at last year, they didn't have J.D. Martinez.
Right, right. And last year, I never would have picked it. I was considered, people called me a homer in 2017 because I picked them to be third, okay? And I mean a distant third, no chance at the playoffs third, okay? So that was considered homer because so many people thought they were going to be much worse than that. I looked at this year and I thought, okay, without a doubt, you're going to be competing for with the Dodgers for the division, probably ending up being a wild card. Then April happened. And after April, I realized teams get hot and then teams go down. But you don't go 8-19. That's abnormal. And I look at this team and say, you should be playing better individually. I'm thrilled that they're finding ways to win games. But when I look at how bad so many individuals are playing for this team, I can tell you, you can't keep winning games that way. There's zero chance. This bullpen will crack. And you could argue maybe it already did in Colorado. But the bullpen will crack when you keep not getting the runs that you need to be getting offensively. When too many pitchers are not pitching into the seventh inning. And once this bullpen cracks, this season's over. The bullpen has been carrying this team and off and on starting pitching. That's not enough. And what's going to happen is the team will crack unless this offense picks it up. That's why I'm not as positive as a Torrey Lovello is, because I'm looking at this thing and saying, your ship is taking on water. Don't tell me that you're proud of everything. Good. If the race is to July, good job, guys. Good job.
Yeah, and a lot of their wins in the first half are wins you should expect in the second half of the season.
What do you mean?
By that, I mean where the pitching needs to kick in because you're not getting runs. So you have to have shutouts in the second, you know, the second half of ball games. But that's something where, okay, should we kicking in because we're gearing up for a playoff push. When you do actually have an offensive explosion like they had against the Padres, it's like, okay, these guys are getting ready. I can see the playoff push for them. This shouldn't be the first half of it. So, yeah, I think offense needs to be more consistent. And like you said, you're going to need some help in the pitching department because, like you said, if the bullpen cracks, I need to know that I have a board to put up on that wall to make sure that the hole in the dike, you know, I'm not putting a thumb in it, but I'm putting a board and I'm putting some plaster over it and trying to seal it as opposed to just praying that it'll get better. Health is one thing you can't lean on in the second half. You need to have arms. And I think that's why you need arms and you need a bat before this trade deadline.
So you're just
putting
the board. You're not, you don't believe that guy that cuts a hole in the boat and then is able to go hydroplaning in that boat with the Flex Seal thing.
Yeah, I was about to say the Flex Seal guy is the only guy I trust with that.
Okay.
But you need to go find a can of Flex Seal, which is players.
Coming up next, there's a major deadline that's coming up today at 1 o'clock that could dramatically affect the Arizona Cardinals. Might not, but it could. I'll tell you about it next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.